Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here once again. I want to introduce you to our worship service for Sunday, the 26th of July, 2020. The theme this week is What a Beautiful Place to Live. And we turn to Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place? Noel Gaston will read to us from God's Word, Psalm 24. And Jason Craig will lead us in the Lord's Prayer. So thank you once again for listening. And let us worship God together. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thank you for joining us again as we worship God. And today we're going to be thinking about where is the best place to be. And we're going to discover from Psalm 84 that the best place is to be in God's presence. And we're going to look at what that means for us in our daily lives, how we're to find that, how we're to travel towards God and stay in His presence. The psalm begins with those great words of welcome to us as we worship. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. So let's have that desire to be in God's presence, to long for Him with us today. And let's bow before Him in prayer. King of all the earth, creator of the universe, holy triune God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are the Lord. Lord, our souls long for your courts, O Lord of hosts. Happy are we who dwell in your house and are ever praising you. Our hearts and our flesh rejoice in the living God. Happy are we who dwell in your house and are ever praising you. We have found a home in your presence. Our King and our God. Happy are we who dwell in your house and are ever praising you. Who is like our God, the one who strengthens his people, the one who reveals himself to all who seek him. This is our God, the Holy One. Come before him with thanksgiving and offer him the sacrifice of praise. Amen. We're going to sing together now. Be still for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here, reminding us that it's not a building that we meet God in, but it's in our hearts, it's in our lives that God dwells and we dwell with Him. Let's read from Psalm 84 together. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Amen. There's an old joke that's often told where the wife is getting ready for church and she shouts upstairs to her husband, are you ready for church yet? And he pauses and then he shouts back down the stairs to her, I don't think I'm going to go to church today. I don't really like the people that are there. I don't like the hymns that they sing. It's always too cold. It's not a fun place to be. I think I'm just going to have a lie-in today and I'm going to skip church. And the wife listens to all this and then she shouts back up to him, you do realize you're the minister and they're waiting on you preaching today? And then, of course, he has to go. It's an old joke, but perhaps it sums up a lot of us and our attitude to what church was like before. If someone had asked us, well, are you going to church tomorrow? We might have thought to ourselves, well, I'll go if there's nothing better to do. But I think the one thing about lockdown is we've realized what we miss about church. Because yes, we can have this online experience. We can tune in to people who are preaching from God's word. We can have a worship experience week by week. But it isn't the same as being in a building with other believers. Now, of course, don't get me wrong today. I'm not saying that the building is the church. I know that we, the people, are the church and we meet together in a building. But I want us to look for a moment or two at Psalm 84, because in Psalm 84, the psalmist is talking about being in God's dwelling place. And he's talking about how lovely it is to be in God's dwelling place. And I think that is what we miss during this whole lockdown experience. The idea of meeting with other believers and being together in God's presence. And the psalmist here in Psalm 84 looks at what it means to be in God's presence, looks at what it means to be dwelling with God. And he looks at it from a couple of different perspectives, not just here and now, every day in our lives, what it's like here on earth, but he's also looking ahead to what it might be like in eternity to be in God's presence. So let's look together at Psalm 84 and see what it's like and see this longing that we now have to be in a church building with other believers and to be able to worship God so that whenever it's safe to do so, we come with a renewed enthusiasm and we come with a desire to be with God's people, but most of all to be with the Lord God Almighty as well. So we start off Psalm 84 with a longing for God. The psalmist has a longing for God, and that desire needs to be satisfied by being in God's presence. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty? My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. He longs to be in God's presence, and it's almost to the point of fainting that he just wants to be with God and he wants to be in his presence. And that's the important thing that we need to realize during this lockdown. We can be in God's presence wherever we happen to be. We don't have to be in a building. It's much easier whenever we're in a building with other believers, but we can be in his presence. But when was the last time that we nearly fainted because we had this strong desire to meet with God and to know him? And that's what the psalmist is talking to us about, a yearning that's deep in our souls, a yearning that is hard to satisfy, that only Jesus Christ can satisfy for us. He goes on to say in verse 2, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. It's not just that he says, oh yeah, I'd like to go whenever the church is open and worship God. He's saying, I want to know God right now. I'm crying out. My heart, my flesh, my whole being is crying out to know God and to be in his presence. And that's what we need. That it's not the building they're coming into, but it's God's presence that we long for more and more. The psalmist then goes on to consider the birds, and he's really quite jealous of the relationship that the birds have with God, because he realizes that they're in God's presence, that
they don't have anything, as it were, to distract them from God. They don't have sin in their lives to take them away from God. And so he says in verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place of safety, a place near your altar, Lord, Almighty, my King and my God. And that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to get rid of all the distractions and all the things that would pull us away from God and find a place of safety near the Lord's altar and dwell in his presence every single day. That making sure that there's nothing that keeps us away from him, that there's nothing would tear us away from being in his presence, that we wouldn't have other things in our lives that would take over from him. That we make Jesus Christ the priority and living in his presence a priority. He goes on in verse 4 to say, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. If we can dwell in God's presence, if we can keep praising him, whatever we're doing or wherever we're going, then we will know true blessing. And that means that each day of our lives, whatever we're doing, we give thanks to God. It means that each day of our lives, wherever we happen to go, we go with Jesus Christ and we give thanks for what Jesus teaches us and for what Jesus gives us. That we don't head off anywhere on our own without Jesus, but we make sure that we're with him every step of the way. So here the psalmist begins the psalm with a longing for God. He's yearning, he's desiring, he's fainting. He wants to be like the birds who have no other distractions and are in God's presence. So the psalmist then sets off on a pilgrimage. From verse 5 onwards, he's traveling to God. He's talking about this whole journey that he's in, that it's not just a matter of being in God's presence, but there's actually a process to go through of traveling to God, of knowing God, of getting to know him better. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, the psalmist says. So we have this desire to know God, and so we set off on a journey. We make it our life's journey to get to know him better. And a pilgrimage isn't something that's easy. A pilgrimage isn't a holiday. It's not that we're being tourists, because a tourist just goes to a place, looks at it quickly, sees all the high points, and then moves on to the next place. But a pilgrim takes time. It's difficult. Everything isn't laid on for the pilgrim. The pilgrim struggles at times to get to where they're going. The pilgrim learns a lot along the way. The pilgrim meets people along the way and spends time with those people. And so if we're going to travel to God, if we've got that longing to know him and then we're going to set off on this journey with him, then we're to be pilgrims, not tourists. We're to find our fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Psalmist tells us that they pass through the valley of Baca and they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. This valley of Baca was a place of bitterness. It was a place where there was suffering. And so you would go through the valley, and the pilgrim journeying towards God goes through those times of barrenness and bitterness and sorrow and suffering. But they come out the other side with God by their side, trusting in him and relying upon him. And perhaps at the moment, with all that's going on in the world around us, we are going through a valley of bitterness and sorrow and suffering. Maybe there's something in your life at this moment that's even nothing to do with what's going on in the world with coronavirus, but you personally are going through a valley of Baca. But if you long for God, if you travel with God, then it will be made a place of springs. There will be life in that valley. There will be hope in that valley as you travel towards God and meet with him, finding blessing there. They go from strength to strength, the psalmist says, till each appears before God in Zion. This is the promise that we're traveling and we go from strength to strength in the traveling. Yes, there will be the valleys. Yes, there will be the difficulties. Yes, there is the suffering. But all of that strengthens us and draws us closer to God as we travel towards Him. Hear my prayer in verse 8. O Lord God Almighty, listen to me, O God of Jacob. This is how we get through the valley. We call out to God and we ask Him to hear us. This is how we go from strength to strength, by turning to God in prayer and knowing that He's listening and answering us. And so we travel towards God. And we ask God in verse 9 to look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. We seek God's blessing. We say to Him, Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm traveling towards you. I'm doing all that I can to know you. But I know that that can never be enough. I need you to reveal yourself. I need you to hear my prayer. I need you to look with favor upon me. And whenever you do that, Lord, then I will be truly blessed. So we have this longing for God. We have this traveling towards God. And then towards the end of the psalm, we come into the presence of God. This is what our whole desire has been. This is what our whole hope is, that we come into God's presence, that we dwell in His holy place, that we simply relax with Him around us and we worship Him and we honor Him. The psalmist is able to say, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. He's arrived. He's reached the place where God is and he says, oh, this is so good. Just to be in God's presence is better than anywhere else. I'd swap all the days of my life for just one day because this is so good. You've maybe seen those little stickers that people have up in their cars or maybe in their kitchens. And it says something along the lines of a bad day golfing is better than a good day anywhere else. And the psalmist here is saying a good day in God's presence, one day in God's presence, I'd swap it for 1,000 days elsewhere. You know, also those little plaques that people hang up on their doors and they'd say, I'd rather be at the beach. The psalmist here says, I'd rather be in God's presence. That's where I want to be. That's where I find my fulfillment. That's where I find my hope. That out of the choice of anywhere else in the world, I'd rather be in God's presence. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, the psalmist goes on to say, in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The doorkeeper, the very last person to get in somewhere. They stand at the door and they open and they close it for everyone else to come in. If there's room at the end, they can close the door behind them and they can slip in at the back. And the psalmist says, I'd rather do that than be in the tents of the wicked, than to be anywhere else. I don't care about having a privileged place at the front. I don't care about having a good view. Even if I can just slip into God's presence, that is how good it is. That is how great it is. It would be like being at a concert and being the litter picker, but you could still hear the music. You'd be glad to do it just to have the privilege of being there. A doorkeeper in God's presence. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Even the least in the kingdom of heaven receives blessing beyond anything that we can ever imagine. And so as we have this longing for God and this traveling towards God, then we enjoy His presence. In verse 11, no good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. What a blessing. What a wonderful position to be in. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Are you trusting in God today? Do you have that desire in your heart, longing for Him? Are you traveling towards Him today? Well, now is the time to be in His presence, to trust in Him, to to know the blessing of sins forgiven, to know the blessing of new life in Jesus Christ, to know an old life taken away and a new life given, a righteousness that isn't our own but comes from Jesus Christ. To be in God's presence is what we have today. That is the privilege, that is the blessing. And so we come to him and we seek him. Let's bow before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can be in your dwelling place, that we can be with you each day of our lives. So, Lord, we have this longing in our hearts. We pray that you would satisfy it in Jesus. Help us, Lord, as we travel, as we go on pilgrimage towards you, that we would truly find you and find salvation in you. And then, Lord, as we dwell in your presence, may we know the blessing that comes from you alone. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas, established it in the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. He does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek them. Who seek your face, God of Jacob? Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. The King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Amen.
Why Jesus? Well, today we're thinking about dwelling in God's presence. And if we answer that question, why Jesus, it's because Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us in God's presence. He's promised the early disciples that he was going ahead of them, that he would prepare a place for them and they would come and they would dwell with him. And we have that same promise today, where Jesus has told us that he's gone to prepare a room in God's place just for us who have trusted in him. You can read about it yourself in John chapter 14. And there Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." So we can trust Jesus because he's told us he's going to prepare a specific place for those who have trusted in him. He's going to prepare a room in his Father's house. Now, in some of the old translations, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And there are lots of folk who obviously hold on to that idea dear. But I want to suggest today that a room in God's house is much, much better than having a mansion. Imagine if you were being invited to Buckingham Palace and the Queen was inviting you to come and to stay there and to live there. And you might think to yourself, whoa, now that sounds pretty special. But you arrive there and the Queen says, right, off you go to where you're living. And they take you out of the palace and take you through the grounds and to a large house outside in the gardens. It's a beautiful house. It's a splendid house. But you're there on your own, as it were. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the Queen had said, "Come to this room. This is yours. I've prepared it specially for you. I've got all the things that you like in it. It's been decorated the way that you like it to be decorated. It's just down the hall from my room, so you're very close to me. Whenever we go to eat, you'll come down to the dining hall and you'll dine with us. If you need anything, just call any of my servants. They'll be willing to help you and they'll be willing to do whatever you need. To me, a room in the house sounds much, much better than a mansion away off in the gardens. And that's what Jesus promises us. So why Jesus? Because he goes to prepare a room in his Father's house just for us. A room, a special place, so that we can be close to God, so that we can dwell with him, so that we can be in his presence.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
There are all sorts of different places that we can live in the world. There are all sorts of different places that we can call home. Perhaps you live in a house with stairs. Maybe you live in a bungalow. Maybe you live in an apartment. But throughout the world, there are all sorts of other places where people can live. Some people live in great mansions. Some people live in palaces. Some people live in tents. Some people live in caravans. Some people live in mud huts. Some people live in shelters that they have built themselves. There are all sorts of different structures and buildings that we can call home. But where we live is something completely different from the structure. The best place that we can live is to live in God's presence. And God sent Jesus to live with us so that we would know what that was like. Jesus came to this earth and he lived in a poor home with a loving mother and father. He didn't come and live in a great palace with great wealth. He humbled himself and lived just like you and like I. He lived in a way that he understands what it's like for us to live our everyday lives. And so as Jesus came and made his dwelling among us, so we are to make our dwelling among him. We're to live for him each day. So whatever the building or structure is that you live in, it's much more important to make sure that we live in Jesus each day. There's a great little story in the Bible about a wise builder and a foolish builder. The wise builder builds his house upon the rock. The foolish builder doesn't take much time over building. He just builds on the sand. It looks like a nice place to be, but when the rain falls and the storms come, the house in the sand is washed away, but the house on the rock stands firm. So it's important that we build our lives on Jesus Christ, the rock, on listening to his word and obeying his word. So we're going to sing that little song now. Now we come to God with the needs of others in prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence today, we thank you that you are the God who hears us and who answers prayer. And therefore, Lord, we bring the needs of others to you. We pray, Lord, in the middle of this coronavirus, once again, about all the aspects that are affecting lives day by day. We pray for the medical professionals and for all that they are doing. And we ask, Lord, that you would sustain them and help them. Be with those, Lord, who are ill and help them recover. And we pray, Lord, that all the necessary action may be put in place, that if there is a second wave coming, that everything may be ready. We pray, Lord, for our nation and for the government and for planning that is being put in place, and for recovery after this virus. We ask, Lord, that you would be with all those who are making plans, that they would have great wisdom to know the right things to do so that we might recover again quickly. We pray for our nation, Lord, that we would turn to you and seek you, that we wouldn't just get on with life as normal, but that we would realize that you are the Almighty and you are to be worshipped and adored. And Lord, we pray for those who are ill, not just with coronavirus, but through other things as well. We pray that you would draw alongside and that you would help. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling mentally at this time with everything that we have come through in these last number of months. We ask that your hand would be upon them. And we pray, Lord, for those who have been bereaved, that you might comfort and strengthen and help at this time, that they would know that you are the one who never leaves and you're the one who brings comfort. So, Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, as we worship today, we want to give thanks to the Lord God Almighty for all that he has given to us and for the opportunity that we have to give to him. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you have been so generous to us. You have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us to take away our sins. We recognize today, Lord, that we can never fully repay you for what you have given to us. But we bring these offerings as a token of our worship. And as we present our offering to you, we ask, Lord, that you would take our lives, present it to you as living sacrifices, and that you would use us in your service. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now the blessing as we leave our worship, having looked at Psalm 84 together. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, O Lord. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. You have set their hearts on pilgrimage. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Amen.